Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Dr. Harrison Horsbury, we must get these officers to sickbay. Post haste. Pip-Pip, on your way.
What is happening with your doctor?
Oh, yeah, he gets that a lot.
He's British.
Does he have one of those Tarchanan parasites that mess with your DNA?
I used to have one. I got it from sharing a toothbrush with one of my colleagues. How did you know? I was told it was hardly noticeable.
Yeah, it was a little noticeable.
Oh, my word. This can't be right.
What's wrong?
Nothing. No pathogens or biochemical phenomena, and no Tarchanan parasites, which I always check for, just for fun.
Oh, my God. You're right. It is a curse.
It's got Star Trek.
Okay, we can start.
Are we starting now?
Yes, we're starting now, Dan. We're starting. And we're going to start properly this week, okay?
Oh, right.
Oh, yes. Like this is the week.
Yeah.
This is the time.
Okay. I apologize for what happened last week.
Yeah.
I was just trying
off my game.
I was trying to do something new. I was just trying to shake things up a little bit.
It did shake things up.
I couldn't handle it. I had a hard time moving past it.
Because I started last week's show by saying, what a great show.
Yeah.
And I was referring to the program, the television program that we watched to discuss the Lower Decks.
But it wasn't clear that you weren't talking about our show.
And Dan thought I was being egotistical and narcissistic. Yeah. Podcast narcissism. It was not my intention.
Podcasticism.
Dan's a bit of a troublemaker.
What? He's the troublemaker? The fuck you talking about?
I don't know. From my perspective, Jesse's the troublemaker.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, you're right. He's a step above.
Okay, anyway.
Podcasticism.
Hello. I think we've basically, we've inferred our introductions. Should we start doing introductions? Should we start saying like, hi, I'm Patrick.
Introduction.
I mean, you're Dan.
We do that sometimes, but whenever we do it, I always say I'm Jesse, and
my
Jesse always
name
says,
is Dan. I know, yeah, and that's so confusing.
Right, so maybe that's why we don't do it that much.
Yeah, but should we do it? Never mind. We don't need to do that. Anyway, like I said, we're going to start the show properly.
Okay.
And welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome, everyone.
We welcome you.
To the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Corn dogs, hey!
Indeed. Indeed.
Good old Chad.
This is a normal opening. I'm not going to say what a great show.
Whew, my, this place does have a signature stink.
But we do have a certain way of starting the podcast.
Man, these systems are all old and weird.
You should take the proper steps.
So I'm trying to do that. I'm going to welcome them. The audience. I am also going to note for the record that this is the 265th episode.
We're closing in on the 300th.
Of It's Got Star Trek.
So, what crime did you commit to get you banished to Curse Town?
That's a lot of content.
I was initially aggravated, as we noted when discussing episodes 1 and 2 of season 5. I was initially aggravated that we had to discuss both episodes. Not because I didn't love both episodes. I did. And I do like getting lots of Star Trek. But as a podcaster, it's a lot more to plan for.
They punish us.
But it did have the happy side effect of realigning the episodes with the number of the so in other words,
I see, yes.
So
what are you talking about?
Okay.
265. It's the fifth episode.
It's the fifth episode of the fifth season. And this is episode 265. Oh, and last episode was the fourth episode. Yeah. It was 264.
Jesse, how'd you pick up on that? I had no idea what he was talking about. Are you calling me dumb?
No.
Are you calling me dumb?
I never call you dumb.
You do, like, all the time.
Oh, no.
All right. Well,
you're one of the smartest people I know.
Aw, you guys. I mean,
he doesn't know all that many people.
I don't know that many people. But
Where were we?
You're in there.
Yes, 265.
That number. Oh, boy.
That number is aligning, which may not matter to many people, but I like it. It's fun. It makes me feel more comfortable.
What? You feel like an itch? Were you feeling this slight like itch behind your
normally,
in your
no,
brain?
No, normally.
It's like
I'm
an itch
to...
in your brain and you couldn't reach it because it's inside your brain?
Maybe. But really, it's the kind of thing I can ignore. But if I notice it, then it makes me a little sad.
Don't worry. You get used to it.
Well, exactly. Okay. So what you're hinting at with the sound clips that you're playing is that we will be discussing the episode entitled Starbase 80?
Probably.
Yes, that is precisely what we were doing.
So, right. You know, it pissed me off that they put a question mark in there because you can't properly name files now.
But here's the deal. Unless
you're on like using a cloud service or something.
No. There is a further controversy.
Oh, is it because it's star space base?
No. I don't know. I do not know to which you are referring. Is that an ASCII code?
No. Look, the question mark.
Oh, star space base. No. It is star base.
So there's star space base, and there's a question mark that you can't make file names.
Is it space? I don't think it's a space. Isn't
yes,
a star...
it's star space base 80.
Okay, now I have to look this up because I thought for sure it was star base with a no space.
I heard star that, base, that space is
star
the place.
Base 80. Let me see. Now I see it with no space.
I see it.
Oh, now I see it with a space.
Yeah,
too.
It's back and
God
forth.
Damn
it.
There's so many. That's not the only controversy because what we're not even talking about is that the official title is not It is not Starbase 80 with a question mark. It is Starbase 80 with a question mark and an exclamation point.
So the top four ones I'm seeing are all from Memory Alpha. The first one is Starbase one word. The second one is Starbase one word with a question exclamation part point. The third one is a Starbase 80 with nothing. The fourth one is Star Space Base Space 80. Like, and this is all from Memory Alpha. They're all listing them differently.
First of all, it's early day. Like, Memory Alpha is user generated, so it takes some time after an episode airs, and it aired last night as of this recording.
Still, like, you'd think there'd be some a little more consistency.
But what
here.
we know it from the title card of this episode. When you watch this episode, the title card comes up and it says Starbase 80 with a question mark and an exclamation point.
Oh,
and
is there an exclamation point in the title?
There is two punctuation marks. I believe it is Starbase with as one word, but I can't confirm that with my memory.
What?
So, not to get everybody all worked up about that, but we're going to discuss more.
Some problems need an old-fashioned booking.
We are going to discuss more about question marks, exclamation points, etc. in our second break, Fun Em Up.
Oh boy. Paramount Plus, I think, has it listed as Star Space Base Hip Space 80 question mark.
And that's wrong, at least the question mark. They do. Paramount Plus had it listed wrong, and they may still have it listed
okay,
wrong.
But
I guarantee you, you load up that episode.
I don't remember.
Does the episode say Starbase is one word, or is it Starbase?
That
space
I can't remember.
I don't
oh my
remember
God.
As
either.
I just stated. But I do know that it has an exclamation point because when I saw somebody said it had the exclamation point.
So much
point,
controversy.
I know. And then somebody said it had the exclamation point. And I was like, no. But then I realized it would make more sense to have the exclamation point, so of course it should. And then I double checked and I watched the episode again, and indeed it did. But I did not pay attention to the Starbase space because I spell Starbase without a space.
Oh my God.
Space is the place.
Yeah, because it's a compound noun, because it's in
compound.
So it's in such common usage. Generally, these separate, you know, adjective and noun. They end up fusing once something is super commonplace.
Fusing.
Oh, this human is full of words.
I'm glad you're going back to that
the
one.
That,
one
has, a lot
that
to
one's going
to
become useful.
That one made it into the best of.
Yes, I think that one's going to be a frequent flyer. As it
oh,
were.
This human is full of words.
Okay. But first.
I like to go but first.
But first. But we'll,
into all my problems, I go but first.
We'll get into all that discussion and we'll have a second break.
Is there any other way?
With question marks and exclamation points, you'll see what I mean when we get to it.
Beep, the audience
can play along.
Oh, yeah. That's the stuff.
everyone's gonna love it. But before that, we do have to get through all the front matter.
Awesome!
Including directing interested souls towards our Patreon. That's patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. And there you will find a cornucopia of
gems,
hilarious delights. And we will post more,
the rarest of gems,
more hilarious delights soon. So go check that out. Also, just a comment that currently, even though these are evergreen episodes and you may be listening 50 years in the future, at this moment,
there is a future.
In the past week, there has been a massive exodus from Twitter over to Blue Sky.
Correct.
We won't say what.
And I mainly mention this because there's a big Star Trek community forming over at Blue Sky.
I think there's a reason they got rid of it.
So you should come join us if you either haven't been on social media before and want to try it out, or you're moving from some other place, or you want to know where things are going down. It seems like the party's getting started on Blue Sky. Who knows? We'll see if it lasts, but so far, so good.
But no more Twitter.
Yeah, nobody's hanging out at Twitter. Everyone's leaving. But
like a fungus.
You can find us on Blue Sky, as well as most of the social media outlets out there, at It's Got
Star
Trek.
So what's like the gimmick with Blue Sky that makes it different from Twitter?
It's basically like Twitter from 2015.
Yeah, but I don't even know what that means, really.
It just means there's no algorithm. Basically like Twitter.
Okay, what I don't mean is administrative kind of things. I mean in terms of like... Like, because there was Threads where their thing was, it was like decentralized or something, right?
Blue Sky is the technically decentralized, except it's sort of not.
Wait, what's Threads?
Threads is made by Facebook and Instagram. And that's all. And the reason people don't like that is because it's all LinkedIn. Like, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff going on Threads. We participate in Threads.
Is Blue Sky the one where you have like these different hubs that you can be a part of?
That's Mastodon.
That's what I was thinking of.
And
Mastodon.
We are on Mastodon and we have a lot of followers on Mastodon.
But like what I'm saying, Mastodon, that's their gimmick. What's Blue Sky's limit?
Blue Sky's gimmick is that it's using an open source federated protocol like Mastodon. In fact, there in theory would be cross-pollination with Mastodon at some point in the future. However, what they've done is Blue Sky has done sort of like its own instance of that federated protocol. It's not right now connected to Mastodon, although you can buy your own private domains on Blue Sky that are connected to Blue Sky. So you can do some cool stuff in that direction. But overall, for the average person, it's just similar to Twitter. Fewer features, but also fewer terrible people and much better moderation of shady content. Yeah.
That's why it's so retro cool.
Yeah, for now, who knows? You know, we'll see. But, you know, anyway, something worth checking out.
Flux spectrometer.
This week we did only have the one email. This is an email.
Flux spectrometer.
Flux spectrometer.
Yeah.
Sounds like she's saying flux spectrometer.
Sounds like it, but
I wasn't sure what she said and I had to turn on the subtitles.
Can you play it one more time?
Pause that shit and be like, what did she say?
Flux spectrometer.
Yeah, it does sound like
because the X sounds bleeds the X bleeds into the S sound. Yeah, so it sounds like flux spectrometer.
She says it very well. It's
flux spectrometer.
It's all musical.
Flux spectrometer.
Yeah.
Flux spectrometer.
Flux spectrometer.
Mirbert. We'll get to that as well.
Levick.
But first,
I always go but first into all my activities.
We have an email from Wilson. Wilson Liu. And Wilson says,
just for fun.
Wilson says, dear manager. And then parentheses, if you are not the person who is in charge of this, please forward this to your CEO because this is urgent. Thanks.
Oh, no.
Close parentheses.
What's going on?
This is the email we got sent.
This is one of them scams.
What?
We are a network service company based in Shanghai, China, mainly responsible for registering Chinese domain names. On November 4th, 2024, we received an application from Lizzie Holdings requested It's Got Star Trek as their internet keyword and China domain names.
No!
After checking it, we find this name conflicts with your company name or trademark. In order to deal with this matter better, it is necessary to send an email to you and confirm whether this company is linked to your company in China. Best regards, Wilson. Mr. Wilson Liu.
Mr. Wilson,
senior manager number 98, Xinhua Middle Road, Zhangyang, Shanghai, 201500, China. Telephone 0086-2161-918696.
You better have a damn good explanation.
Facts.
That's not a real phone.
0086.
Dude.
21.
You just doxed them.
6191-86-97.
You just doxed them, yo.
Oh, and at the bottom it says, tip, please add mail sender account to your contacts to make sure our response does not end up in your spam folder. Wilson.
What happened?
Well, Wilson,
Wilson!
I don't have any comment. I'm not too worried about people taking over any sort of, you know, trademark or anything. Like, we're not
so what was the name of the company that supposedly took our name?
Let's see. This is, it says, we are a network service company. Wilson, senior manager. Email from...
Oh, this human is full of worms.
It doesn't say. He does not say what company he's from.
Okay. Usually those emails start all like, dearest gentles.
Yeah. So that's the newest thing. For because what they do the thing where it's like, oh, your package is being held at the center.
I know.
So you
got to
tell us about that. And then
just click this link and put in your bank account number.
Yeah, and we'll get your package. Now they're doing, somebody stole your company's name, and so you should like give us your bank account.
I know. We're going to lose so much money.
So give us your bank account and credit card info so we can like fix it and give you money
for realsies. Yeah. Well, that is the end of the emails for this week. If you would like to email us, feel free to send an email in, an old-fashioned email. We love them. We love to get those at feedback.
We love them
at itsgotstartrek.com. That is
feel free to fuck off.
Feedback at itsgotstartrek.
I will not.
.com for your emails. Subject
not
line,
if my life depended on it.
Subject line, whatever the hell you want. Whatever you think the topic is. Whatever you think might get our attention. How about that? All right. Shall we proceed to our discussion of
this? Pip, on your way.
Television program. The program.
Keep going. Chad will be okay.
Oh. Chad.
The program in which we finally get to see Starbase 80.
Starbase 80? Yeah.
!!
Well, there was a little...
Damn, Starbase 80!
We saw a little bit of Starbase
That's
80.
That's true, internally.
Little scene.
Yes, yeah. In, what was it, season 3, I think? Something like that?
Where, Starbase 80.
I think so.
Damn, Starbase 80!
Mariner was posted over there.
Yeah.
Dealing with some
of that. Right, so Mariner was talking in the episode about how she hit rock bottom when she was posted, sent to Starbase 80. I'm trying to remember what episode that was.
It was, I can't remember the name of the episode,
yeah,
but I believe it was in the third season when things were...
what was she doing to get her sent there?
She was accused
somebody
of some
stuff. Somebody was framing
her,
like, sort of treason.
So she got sent off for some business.
When the crew mistakenly believes that Mariner gossiped to a newscaster about the people on the Cerritos, her mother sends her to Starbase 80. She and the rest of the Cerritos eventually realize their mistake, but when Freeman tries to contact her, she learns that Beckett Mariner has quit Starfleet. That is from Comic Book Resources. CBR.com.
All right.
All right. Thank you, CBR.com.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Belana's on it.
So we did talk about Paramount Plus getting the name wrong.
Which
is not unusual because it's the second time this season.
It's quite
right?
usual.
Is it at least the second time this season?
At least.
That they got got the name of the episode
Paramount
wrong.
Minus.
This is the first.
I swear there was one where they uppercased the and or something. It was like an and in the
title.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
They uppercased it.
Well, I believe that. Yeah. This is the first episode of Star Trek to include both a question mark and an exclamation point.
Awesome!
I know. It is pretty awesome. All right.
I always like that one.
Yeah. Cool as hell.
Now, in terms of structure, it's interesting because there is like an A and a B plot, but they're like a very similar plot and they're on the same station and
so
the same function.
This podcast will be an interesting podcast because this is the episode that I feel like I was able to take the fewest amount of notes on. I don't know.
Really?
There wasn't a lot of stuff to note on. I did make a big long list of all the shit that's wrong with Starbase 80.
That's,
all
right. That was most of what my notes
were. I look forward to that list.
But in terms of like random like notes, there's like not a lot of them.
Funny quotes.
Yeah. I've got a couple of insights here, and you tell me what you think of these insights. It seems like you didn't gather too many insights out of this episode. But anyway, you tell
me. Well, since you mentioned it.
You tell me, because this is how I see the A and B stories sort of breaking down here, right? So, you have Marinator. You got Marinator.
Marinator.
You got a Marinator, your Gator.
Marinate your Gator.
Marinate your Gator all over that. Now, Mariner is navigating. She's navigating these problems that she's causing.
Just for fun.
She's navigating these problems on Starbase 80, right? And she doesn't realize that her prejudice is like preventing her from like even identifying what the problem is, let alone solving it.
Right. So It's interesting because she starts off by thinking that Starbase 80 is cursed. And this is before the cursed zombie people start appearing. So, of course, she thinks that they're cursed because of Starbase 80, because she thinks Starbase 80 is cursed.
It's a self-fulfilling
but
prophecy.
It's because of the Cerritos. But I just thought it's funny that she thought it was cursed and they like had cursed things. There wasn't just wrong stuff happening. These fucking zombie people came. And it was all reversoed.
And fundamentally...
That's the joke of the episode.
Fundamentally, that storyline is an example of Mariner dealing with a character flaw, but the difference is in season 5 she seems to be quicker to realize it and to resolve the problem, but she's learning because she's trying to be a better person this season, right? She's been taught that this whole season arc has been Mariner trying to be more gung-ho about like living up to her talents and all that stuff.
She's also like into more nerdy shit too. Like she was all into some at the beginning of the episode. Like I think Tendi was talking about how it was because she was into algae.
She's appreciating that stuff more.
And like and then Boimler is still kind of a goof, but Boimler in the other episodes has shown that he's sort of matured in his managerial skills.
Yeah, no, they're all
he's gaining confidence.
His facial hair.
They're all growing, and when we've seen them grow in different ways,
literally and figuratively.
But that's Mariner's storyline is she's wrestling with some character flaws and learning to overcome them, which has been happening kind of the whole season. It's like a series of challenges are being set in front of her, testing her for all the things she's been shown to have problems with over the course of the whole series. And now she's winning those video game levels to whatever the end of season 5 is going to be. And we can discuss where we think that's going. But that's the A story.
It was a little noticeable.
But the B story is almost the same thing. It's like a mother like daughter thing, because what Captain Freeman is doing, she's basically relearning the satisfaction of solving everyday problems, right? Because that's what happens with her. And it kind of goes to her character flaw, which is she's clearly a competent captain. She's always been shown to be competent, but she gets in her own fucking way because she's all bitter about like not having a more interesting captaincy.
Well, she's also insecure because she can't let it go that her alternate self ended up in Starbase 80. And like that's why she was going like above and beyond with the bats, because she was like, because that other, remember that other universe, it wasn't the mirror universe, it was supposedly like the different decisions universe.
Slightly different decisions,
which is still weird that Mariner, it makes sense that
she's
Mariner
hung up like Pike is all hung up.
It makes sense that Mariner became like, in one way it makes sense that Mariner became like this dictator person, but on the other hand it's like I wouldn't quite believe that she would go that far. But that's the only question I would have, as it being a universe that was strictly different decisions. Like, yeah, I mean, because like, do you find it hard to believe that even with different decisions, Mariner would have become the dictator she was in that episode?
I buy it because Mariner is a character of extremes, particularly when she is on the ropes, as it were, psychologically or professionally, whatever. Right. She takes the extreme way out. That's sort of her default or was. That's what she's trying to evolve out of.
I can't believe I messed this up.
She's totally like captain material. Yeah. So it's got to happen in some sort of
she's
reality.
Holding. She like her mom. She holds herself back with her attitude.
I skipped from Freeman to Mariner somehow, but yeah, Freeman was like, that experience really shook her up, like with the alternate universe, because like she doesn't want to end up on Starbase 80, and like you were saying, she's competent, she gets in her own way, but she's also
she doesn't seem to know how to play the game or with the top brass, or she's so insecure about the fact that she doesn't have the captaincy of a more interesting command that's what's preventing her from getting that more interesting command.
Strangely, she's married to an admiral.
In a way she was getting in her own way when she was fighting.
You're gonna say that three times fast.
Weird thing to say. When she was fighting the bats, because she didn't have to fight the bats, but she was like so insecure that in a way she was getting in her own way.
I took that a different way, but I'm going
to... In a way, you took it a different way?
I'm going to withhold.
In a way, I thought she got in her way that way, but you took it a different way.
I've provided a tremendous number of insights over the last few minutes, generated a lot of conversation. So I'm going to reserve some of my
it was a little noticeable.
Some of my remaining insights for later in today's conversation. But how about this? That's the basic A plot and B plot. Although again, they're super parallel. They're almost the same kind of plot. People wrestling with their character flaws and sort of, you know, working through them. But let's start with the A plot. Let's go through the A plot, which is the Mariner business. And it all starts out with this whole, you know, the cetacean ops.
Yeah.
Getting all freaky deaky. Now we know by the end of the episode that it turns out they were infected by an anaphasic organism. Do you know the other anaphasic organism we've met in Star Trek?
In all of Star Trek?
In all of Star Trek.
I know there's been one, but I can't remember.
It was the sexual assaulting ghost in Sub Rosa. Remember? That ghost candle?
Yeah.
That was an anaphasic organism, if I recall correctly.
Okay. Which series?
In TNG. That was when Beverly's ghost candle.
Oh, speaking of which...
Because this does have a rather... Most of this is like rather TNG Lower Decks color.
The doctor, Dr. Horseberry, he was wearing a Crusher coat. I don't know if that's a standard issue, like... doctor's coat, but he was wearing
the coolest coat.
But and they also and I commented this on I think one of our last TNG episodes. They had a first season turbo lift handle in the turbo lifts, those handles you hold on to.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like a first season TNG thing. Anyway, but you're looking at me like I'm some kind of idiot, Patrick.
Yeah, you were continuing your sentence.
Oh wow. Oh,
I'm trying to listen to you.
No, I really appreciate it. I think like it's throwing me off a little bit. I know
we're not trying to interrupt you.
I don't want to interrupt you. I want to. I want to enjoy.
Let's hear what Dan has.
Whatever spills out of that round mouth of yours. that round mouth.
I'm very appreciative of both of you. Thank you. I threw me off. That's my own fault.
All right.
Continue. Oh, yeah.
I was trying to find the origin of cetacean ops because I know I've looked it up before, but I can never seem to remember where specifically
TNG technical.
It's just
manual.
The technical manual.
That's why I think.
Where
that was
did
the
they
first
get it
reference.
From? Is this all come from like Star Trek 4?
I think Rick Sternbach
pulled it out of the ass.
Rick Sternbach ate a bunch of mushrooms and started drawing pictures of the USS Enterprise. It was like, I'm going to draw the insides.
Where is it? Whales, baby, whales.
It's steered by whales.
It must have been influenced by Star Trek 4.
He put a rubber ducky in there.
Somehow, right?
Yeah.
Like because save the whales. That
you
put
know, I
the
never
whales
thought of that.
It has to be related somehow.
Sometimes they... I read that in one of the books I read about...
Well, that about sums it up, doesn't it? That about sums it up.
What were you saying, Jesse?
I read in one of the books that they use the Medusans.
The Medusan Oblongata?
In a navigational sense, yes, similar to the whales.
Yeah, I recall the Medusan business.
But
as well.
I don't know if that's in the... I don't think that's in the...
I don't know that that's
TNG,
on screen.
It's not in like the. It's not in the Galactic class, which is where
Galaxy class.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Galaxy class.
It's just such a bizarre fucking thing to.
Which is what the technical manual is.
It's so bizarre to have whales of all things. Like you have so much future shit, but then you like whales. I know, right?
Because they're in danger.
They're clever and they can navigate around the seas. So of course they can navigate in the stars.
Yeah, but I mean,
they're like belugas.
Can't
beluga whales?
Can't like scanners also navigate? Like
you mean the things where your head explodes?
No, dummy. You were being
you
silly.
You mean the movie Scanners?
No.
Where the heads explode?
No.
I thought that's what you meant.
No.
I thought you might be talking about Scanners.
Oh, boy.
All right, we haven't even technically started talking about the A story because it hasn't even split off yet. They haven't even gotten to the part where it splits into an A and B story. We're in the beginning bit.
Right, so there's the whales, and then they have to find a new nav unit.
Yeah, and so they've got to, they've got no choice.
They have to limp to the nearest starbase.
Which happens to be Starbase 80?
Starbase 80.
Because Deep Space 6 is 400 years away on Impulse.
Yeah.
I want to know how far away that is.
For real.
Impulse must suck to have to be stuck at.
Well, it's, you know, it's sublight.
Yeah, it's way sublight.
So you can't, if you can't, like, navigate your shit, you know,
faster
than light.
It's STL. It's not FTL.
Yes, exactly.
STL. What was it? There's something about Piscis 9?
Yeah, I think that might be how we would say Pisces.
He was on a way mission to Piscis 9. Pretty sure it's not Tarkanen's. Oh yeah, what? There's something about Piscis.
Well, it was
Piscis 9 was the planet they were scooping up the algae.
It was an ocean planet.
Oh, okay,
that's where they inadvertently picked up the anaphasic organism that was thrown around in the algae.
Clem.
But you only know that in retrospect. Now, do you think that they named Clem the creature after Clem H. Fandango?
I can hear you.
On Matt Berry's Toast of London.
My designation is Clem.
It could be. It could just be a coincidence.
I will say that thought crossed my mind, but I also only thought of that because you don't hear the name Clem all that often. Yeah. So, like,
right,
why not?
Right.
You know, if they named it Bob, I wouldn't think of what about Bob? What about Bob or
right.
something like that?
Bob
you know?
Is a common name.
I was thinking about what about Bob the other day. What
that's
about
because Bob? I sent you. I was singing that that song. The music.
Oh
that,
yeah, that's
the
right.
part that goes.
You know, you guys should do a What About Bob podcast.
Yeah, I remember you sent that to me and I didn't recognize it because it was a poor rendition.
No, it wasn't. It was a perfect rendition.
And then
you just
told me what it was and I was like, oh.
It was not. What do you mean it was a poor rendition?
Now
it was like right on point. You sing it better.
I'm not suggesting I can.
I'm not. I think it's about as good of a rendition as a single human voice can do.
I don't even disagree with that.
Then you. It's not worth calling
melody,
a poor.
I think the melody of that particular tune is difficult
then
to render.
If it's the best that one person can do, that's not accurate to call it a poor rendition.
Okay. You're right. It is not accurate. How about if I call it an inadequate rendition?
A little unscientific.
It was inadequate for me to determine what it was. But
some problems need an old-fashioned bonking.
You're right. But I must insert myself here briefly to note
they can be real dicks.
That it is time for us to take a wee little break.
A wee little break.
A wee little break. And when we return, we will continue our discussion of Starbase 80 ! But we will also have a very brief. But very fun, I believe, I hope, fun em up. Be right back.
Ugh, hurry! I feel myself getting moronic!
Feel free to sing along, Dan.
Cha-cha-cha!
All right. Hey, everybody, welcome back.
With the help of two of my biggest weirdos.
To the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Come on, danger time.
Indeed. Okay. So we will get back momentarily to
this place is basically controlled by a knife gang.
To our discussion of the old episode that we're talking about, Starbase 80.
Old episode.
By the way, I like this.
Yeah, this place is basically controlled by a knife gang.
I like how Boimler at the end. They just threw that. They didn't have to put that
part
in. But
why did he do that?
Yeah, he's just showing him all whimpering, like being nervous.
I didn't catch that. That is very funny. But, okay, I caught
it a couple times.
So that was the What About Bob.
That was the What About Bob music
and so,
that Dan was talking about.
And so what do you think?
I
think everybody should watch What About Bob. It's a great movie. It's a horror movie.
I think you guys should do a What About Bob podcast.
So I sang the part that was like, dun-dun-dun-dun.
Do-do-do.
And what would you want me to sing the clarinet part? Now that would be difficult. We can't even do it. We just go and you know what we're talking about.
80s movie clarinets.
See, it was a great rendition I did. It's not that the rendition was bad, is that the song didn't lend it the piece didn't lend itself to being rendered by a single human voice.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a synthesis.
And that was the problem with the early to mid 90s.
Unless you're Kevin Winslow. No, not Kevin Winslow.
Kevin Winslow.
The bleeps.
That's Michael Winslow.
Michael Winslow. Yeah, not Kevin Winslow. Who's Kevin Winslow?
You're thinking of Kevin Clash, who was the voice of the now disgraced voice of Elmo.
I was not thinking of Kevin Clash.
Okay, well, I don't know who you were thinking of. But
I don't think I was thinking of anyone. Is Kevin Clash, like, did he do something bad?
Didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, wasn't he?
He did the voice of Splinter in TMNT.
Splinter. Okay, let's
You didn't know that? Did you know that?
I did know that. I did know that, yes. Actually, I did, as it happens.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Elmo loves you.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the second break fun 'em up because
there was Carl Winslow, who was the dad in Family Matters.
Right. And Eddie Winslow.
Yeah, Eddie Winslow.
Edo.
We have a second break fun 'em up.
Edo.
In order to proceed to the next stage of our conversation, we first must get through the barrier.
But what I was saying is,
second
if you
break,
were
fun him up.
Michael Winslow, is that who you said his name?
Yes, Michael Winslow.
If you were him, you could probably sing the clarinet part of the. What
if
about
you were
Bob?
A human synthesizer?
I have no doubt that that is probably correct.
Okay, well, okay, we have a fun him up, and also remember we have like the list of things that
yes.
the shit
yeah.
that went wrong with.
I want to get to that list
totally.
Of things.
Now it's time.
Awesome.
To shut him up.
Correct.
All right. Okay. Okay. Second break, fun 'em up. And this centers around question marks and exclamation points.
Hip, hip, on your way.
So it's a bit of a quiz. And don't worry if you can't think of the answers. It's just meant to sort of generate some fun. So you don't have to feel
like
bad
quizzes.
About yourselves if you don't get the answers. I don't think I'd necessarily get these answers off the top of my head. So
y'all have fun.
The question is, can you remember which episodes of Star Trek, in all the Star Trek franchise, which episodes have exclamation points in the title?
All of them?
Other than this episode.
Holograms?
You're like, all of them? Yes, I want you to name
holograms?
Every episode of Star Trek that has an exclamation point
oh,
in
I
the
can't
title.
Do that. That's, no.
And at the audience at home, you can be screaming at your radio sets, at your crystal radio sets. Or your
but whatever you do, don't turn
or
that
your
dial.
Your podcasting device or your television. So you might know the answer. Some of you out there probably know the answer, or at least one of them. What do you think? Can either of you remember?
What are
anything?
Little girls made of? That's
no,
a recent one.
That's
did.
A question mark. We're asking for exclamation points.
Oh, shit!
Exclamation points.
I already fucked it
wasn't
up.
Like QU? Wasn't QU? It was like QU. it was like QU, man. Wasn't
no, that's
QU. QU. QU, man.
I have to imagine that Dan is joking because.
Oh, I can't believe I messed this up.
Yeah, he's totally fucking.
We in fact we've done QU. It's somewhere back there in our library
that's
of episodes. In our previous 264 episodes, we've done Q Who, but it's not Q U.
Q U.
It's like you who
you
Q U. No. That
spread myself too
double
thin.
Q on you.
All right, I'll give you a hint. There are only two
shit
other episodes other
two
than this
Q?
One. There are only two.
Yeah, I don't have the know how.
There are only two episodes, and we'll get to Bill Dottorieff in a second. There are only two. Yes. There are only two episodes of all of Star Trek that have exclamation points.
Really?
Do you know what one of them is? One of them we've covered. We have covered one of those episodes. The other episode we have not done.
Wasn't there one just called like attack with exclamation point or something like that?
Yeah, I mean you're very close.
Sabotage.
You're very close. It's not sabotage.
Sabotage. I'm not joking, Lee.
It's not sabotage. It was TOS's Operation Annihilate.
Yeah.
Operation
probably
hyphen annihilate exclamation point. So that's one
correct.
Of we have not yet covered that one. The other episode, how about this? I'll give you a hint. It's a golden era of Star Trek. Or no, silver. I don't know what you call it. It was, you know, TNG, Voyager, Deep Space.
What happened?
I hope I welcome y'all to Deep Space.
Keep going. Shadow will be okay.
It's in Voyager. It's in Voyager. It's an episode we covered in Voyager.
It's like Year of Hell.
All right.
Probably.
We got to continue, so I'll just tell you. It's Voyager's Bride of Chaotica.
Oh,
I can't believe I messed this
that's
up.
That's hilarious.
Exclamation
oh,
point.
Yeah,
all right.
I should have gotten
all right.
One.
Now we will move along home.
Such an insignificant
we will
episode.
Move along home to...
Pip, pip, on your way.
Episodes of Star Trek that have a question mark in the title.
Well, Jesse, why don't you do your thing?
I blurted out that one about what are little girls made of.
What are little girls made of? We just covered that episode not too long ago, so that was an easy one to remember. That has a question mark in it. Any others? Can you think of any others?
How many are there?
I'll give you a hint. There are twice as many with question marks as there are with exclamation points.
So that's four?
None!
No. We've got what are little girls made of? Any other guesses?
I got no idea.
There's three of them are from TOS, and you've already named one of them. You've named What Are Little Girls Made Of?
Where's the other one from?
Oh,
I'll
yeah,
tell you
right.
That later.
Okay, let me. Let's.
Three of them
I'm
from.
I'm just
TOS.
Gonna consult the.
Check me out. I'm a total T'Pol over here.
Jesse's just trying to look it up.
Yeah, really.
I'll tell you, it's actually a little harder to find question marks. So when you do a search in Google or in ChatGPT, you can ask it, say, can you tell me all these episodes of Star Trek that have a question or have a exclamation point? It gives you a very clear, succinct answer. When you ask for all the episodes of Star Trek that have a question mark, it gets very confused and it offers up a number of titles that don't actually have a question mark in it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You're right. It is a curse.
Since we don't want to waste everybody's time here and people at home are definitely screaming at their podcast, the other episodes from TOS are Who Mourns for Adonis?
Okay. And Who Mourns for Morn?
And Who Mourns for Morn?
Yes!
From Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, cool as hell.
Well done, Dan. Who Mourns for Morn? That's the only from Deep Space Nine.
Stuff.
None in TNG, none in Enterprise, none in Discovery.
I like to lay it on thick.
None in Strange New Worlds, none in Short Treks, none in Very Short Treks. You've only got this Lower Decks one, has a question mark.
All I smell is gel.
And the last one from TOS is there in truth no beauty?
Okie dokie, that should do it.
Now, the honorable mentions are there are a couple of episodes, one has already been mentioned obliquely, that ought to probably have a question mark, but were not rendered with a question mark. Both, coincidentally, are from TNG. Mm. And the first is Q who you'd think it would be like Q who, but instead it was like Q who, which is peculiar. Do you?
You better have a damn good explanation.
Do you know what the other episode of TNG that ought to have a question mark, but does not, in fact, have a question mark, leading me to believe that TNG was reticent to use punctuation in their titles?
Because of file names.
Was it Clues?
Maybe because of file names on
back in 1988.
Well, yeah, because TNG was one of the first shows to use a computer. They had typists who did typewriters, but then they switched to computers, and they were able to type up their scripts on
word processors.
Yeah. You're probably using WordStar, maybe WordPerfect eventually.
Maybe
I liked WordStar.
Bank Street Writer.
I was going to say that.
I bet they were WordPerfect.
I had that on my Apple II Plus.
Yeah, for real.
The other episode was Who Watches the Watchers?
Oh, fuck.
TNG. Yeah. When Bobby Hill.
With Bobby Hill?
Bobby Hill. Man. He was like, okay.
That's why it's so retro cool.
Picard's not a god. It's a great episode, Who Watches the Watchers. I don't think we've discussed that one.
No, we should do that one soon.
Incidentally, I like in this episode how they brought up where Mariner was asking, it's like, do you think Q is scientific? And Tenny was like, probably. Because it's kind of true. It's like, not really, but you could probably like mind canon your way around some way that Q is possible. I don't know.
Now, did you say mind canon or mind canyon?
He said canyon.
Because I'm kind of like super into the idea of using a mind canyon as a tool.
I did say canon, but...
The canyons of your mind.
But can't I?
So the idea is, you know, like you think of a mind palace.
Yeah,
but like a mind canyon is even better than a fucking mind palace.
I don't know. A mind palace makes you is sort of like complimentary. I think a mind canyon is not so much so. Well,
maybe not.
It's kind of like another way of saying you're empty headed. You know?
Is it?
Oh.
Or all you're right. Just really impressive. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll get to your list soon, Dan. But before we get to your list, I thought we should chat more fulsomely about this this A story with Mariner.
Let's get on with it.
Mariner's the focus, but of course we get to see the other characters are involved in helping her along.
Oh, did you remember when they were all like, you remember when they were on the bridge and they were shirtless? Like Rutherford and Boimler were shirtless?
Right.
Yes. Okay. Point number one, I'm very glad you brought that up because we did neglect to talk about that.
And the whales didn't say anything.
But point number two, we've been removed from the A-plot and we're now
sorry.
No, I'm fine with it because you're right. You're right. We ought to discuss the shirtless Boimler and his nipples.
Yeah.
Because he was super, like, he was just straight up nippling out all over the place.
Oh, yeah. That's the stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Now that's starting to get us into the A-plot, right?
A-plot.
Mm-hmm. So,
A-plot?
Ransom, of course, goes off. Well, the A-plot and the B-plot. Ransom splits off and goes with Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I like how Ransom is the only one who's like all into Starbase 80 because like he's
really into the gel.
He's into the gel. Which it was
a little gel mustache on his lip, which was creepy.
All
me
I can
out.
Smell is gel.
And that was like kind of a combo joke they had there because they made a reference to Enterprise, obviously, with the gel. But then they
And the uniforms.
And the uniform,
like they're so old that they're using like NX style uniforms.
So, but yeah, they were using the gel and
they're like leftover uniforms.
And at the same time they were implying that they stopped using that gel because later on they learned it was like bad for you. Yeah. And then the other joke is of course like Ransom doesn't fucking care. He's just rubbing on, and then Starbase 80
slathering it all.
Starbase 80 is so shitty that like they still use like old shit that's deemed poisonous.
Did you record the clip of him saying I'm a total T'Pol over T'Pol, here,
and he calls her Mare Bear.
I actually played that sound earlier.
Yeah, the T'Pol one,
yeah.
The Mare Bear one I heard. I don't remember the T'Pol one.
Check me out, I'm a total T'Pol over here.
I played it like not 10 minutes ago.
I mean, I believe you, but I don't recall it. It did not record into my memory engrams.
It's okay.
I got that shit.
Yeah, you got
just so you know.
Yeah, or you guys are totally
before
pranking
you decide
me.
To hate
no,
me.
No.
You guys probably got to, like, when I was in the bathroom during the break, you guys got together and you're like, you know what's going to totally prank Patrick if we pretend like we play the sound?
No, it's not unusual that I'll play a sound and you won't, like, have heard me play the sound, even though I play it.
It's not unusual.
It's age. Mm. Age is getting to us slowly. Mm-hmm. Age and stress.
Slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brain stress. Yeah. Okay.
Check me out. I'm a total T'Pol over here.
Mmm. All I smell is gel. Flux I like to lay it on thick.
Flux spectrometer.
Flux spectrometer.
Flux spectrometer.
This is one of those bog standard...
cetacean ops.
Don't trust your assumptions or beware your assumptions morality tales. Mm-hmm. Bog standard or box standard. Mm. If you want to go by the original derivation... At least according to Susie Dent on the Something Rhymes with Purple podcast.
Mm.
There's a podcast about the origins of words. Mm. It's a good one. You should check it out.
Yeah,
oh, sounds, also box standard.
Box standard. Evolved into bog standard.
Ransom also was like really into the stairs too. It's funny because it's true.
Yeah,
they don't have
good.
Stairs anywhere in Star Trek.
And
like
why
he was into it. Yeah, I know exactly. But like he was like super into it. And Freeman was all tired and he was
the
all
the power of stairs.
He was like the only one that liked that place.
Yeah. Dan, how about this? I'm gonna offer something up here. Would you like to talk about the B plot instead of the A plot?
But we were just talking about isn't that the part of the
no,
A plot?
No, Ransom is with
Freeman. Oh, Mariner.
And the B
okay, I'm sorry.
No,
Mariner.
No,
let's do Mariner.
If you like, we
no,
can.
No, I'm
just...
sorry. I'm sorry, Mariner. I'm
we
sorry.
We can stick with the agenda.
Okay,
Belana's on it.
It's kind of funny.
Sabotage.
Yeah, a little bit. No, all I was
it's
trying to say
a
is
crazy idea.
Is that this is one of those standard, not just Star Trek stories, this is a standard human story, right? Learning a lesson about prejudice, learning a lesson about assumptions, having the wrong assumptions, preventing you from doing the thing you need to do, right? Whatever your goal is, in this case, trying to be safe and get back on track with that, not have to be at Starbase 80. And it's Mariner's assumptions that are the ones that are causing
Denobulan lice.
The trouble. It was well done. It was very standard. I think you could predict pretty early on where the Mariner arc was going to go. It's like, oh, she's making some wrong assumption and then she'll figure it out. And now she's got the right.
Yeah, because she was saying Starbase 80 is where you go when you hit rock bottom. But then Knox was like, no, it's where you go to get second chances.
Yes.
And they actually did a callback to that later when Mariner, like when Knox stomps Mariner's like electro wire that Clem is pulling her in with, like she stomps on it and she's like, Mariner. And Mariner goes, what are you doing? And then Knox is like, giving you a second chance.
Yeah.
Now, I felt that callback was kind of forced because if Mariner, like, If she like woke Mariner up from her haze, Mariner wouldn't be like, what are you doing? She would be like, oh, thanks. Or if she was too out of it to be able to say that, she would have said, what are you doing? Or I mean, not what are you doing? She would have said, what's going
what
on?
What are you talking about?
No, she would have,
what are you talking about?
She wouldn't have been like, what are you doing? She would have been more likely to say, what's happening? You know,
or what's happening now?
Like, I feel like you're not listening.
No, but you made me think. I am listening
what
to what
you're
saying.
What you talking about, everybody?
And I'm resisting playing the what's happening theme song.
Okay, I'm going to try this again. Okay.
Recap.
So when Mariner gets woken up by Knox from being connected to the electro while, she says, what are you doing? And Knox says, giving you a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that's not what she would have said. She would have either said thank you, or if she was too out of it to say thank you, she would say what's happening. She wouldn't say like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So I think they forced that callback.
I agree.
And case in point, case in point, after this happens to Nox when she gets all fucked up and moronic or whatever, and Horseberry saves her.
Horseberry.
She says, "What? Where am I?" That's what Nox said. Exactly what Mariner would have said too.
Yep.
So they were really forcing that that second chances callback on us. That's all I had to say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I can't disagree with you. And overall,
I won't.
I don't get it. You don't get it. I don't get it.
Overall, I'd say that there are some weak spots in this episode. They're not very weak because
there's a lot of funny stuff.
It's still an awesome episode. It's still fun. I just found that the storylines were a little on the nose. And there are examples like that where there's some writing that seems a little forced because they're really trying to stick to this pretty explicit structure. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. It works. And it works again because the characters are fun. They add in a lot of the little jokes and nostalgia here and there. It's a story that resonates with us. It's a good lesson to learn, right? To be careful about your assumptions, particularly in the context of being a good Starfleet officer, which is what Mariner's trying to do. All right. Cool. Just a little bit straightforward.
Yeah.
And often they're more creative about that type of stuff.
One of the things I didn't have a lot of notes to take. Actually, I did have several of them.
So unlike Mozart in the movie Amadeus.
Amadeus.
Who is accused at one point by the emperor of Austria, or was it the Archduke? What is he?
This human is full of worms.
It's the emperor.
He claims that Mozart, his music has too many notes.
The emperor and the Archduke.
Which would be the opposite of what you're saying.
Ah, right. Yeah.
Because you didn't have enough notes.
Well, I there weren't enough notes to take.
You didn't generate enough notes this is a slight story.
Yeah,
it
now.
It's a double plot, but they're both the same
plot. It was kind of made up by the fact that there was a lot of shit going wrong to look at. Like, there was a lot of that kind of stuff to pay attention to. So there was a lot of stuff to keep your eyes peeled for. I hate that saying. But, as far as structure, story structure, there wasn't a whole lot going on with that, you know? I'm glad that Chad lived, though. Because, Chad,
he lives to dog another day.
Yeah,
that was one of the funniest parts of this.
Yeah, I know. I thought he was going to get eaten, and a zombie eaten.
And
he had Wolverine-style
Wolverine-style corn dogs.
Corn dog things. Although he kept dropping the corn dogs, which I thought was a fun gag. Mm-hmm. Right, because he's the corn. He's clearly the corn dog guy.
Yeah.
Not only is he selling the corn dogs, he's into the corn dogs.
Chad, no.
But every time he's trying to serve somebody a corn dog, with the tongs, he kept dropping them on the ground or fumbling them. And it's funny because the whole thing about a corn dog is that it has a handle.
Yeah,
so you don't need to use tongs.
It's a dog on a stick.
I don't understand that.
Maybe it's a gravity plate.
So Nox was Elorian. Is there something in the lore about Elorians being great fighters? I don't remember that.
Well, Guinan is pretty tough and badass. And then Soran from Star Trek Generations, right? He's an Elorian.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got that guy from...
a young Elorian is just a regular person.
Yeah, I like that. on Deep Space Nine, what was his name? Mertz or something
Murtok?
Like that? Yeah, Riggs and Murtaugh. No, Martis Mazur, I think was his name, from Rivals, from DS9's Rivals, played by Chris Sarandon, who played Prince Humperdinck in The Princess Bride. And he was on Deep Space Nine, and he had a whole gimmick with some gambling business. So he's another Elorian. One of the only other Elorians we've met.
Starbase 80 kind of reminded me a little bit on the inside of DS9.
Uh-huh.
It also had something in common that it had the Akamarians.
Yes, the Akamarians from the TNG's The Vengeance Factor.
Yeah,
Season 3, episode...
Now, so Deep Space Nine had the Cardassians were like the ones who owned that ship.
Originally. Yeah.
But now this one is a little different. It's the Akamarians took over it. Now,
because of a treaty, a goofy mistake in a treaty.
Yeah, right, because they didn't give a shit.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. Are the Akamarians there because it's like Starbase 80 is shitty, or Starbase 80 shitty because the Akamarians are there? I don't know.
It's the chicken or the egg. Classic conundrum.
But in a way, it gave me similar vibes to DS9, like on the inside, and just like the fact that
or a more rundown DS9. And I suppose now is as good as any of a time to broach the topic that. What if they did a spin-off series or miniseries?
Spin-off series?
A Starbase 80 series about Starbase 80 kind of getting up to speed.
No, I am not going back to that hellhole.
because DS9 came after TNG, and as you said, Lower Decks is kind of like TNG-ish. And so if you want to do more animated adventures and you can have some characters stop by, maybe even transfer over there like O'Brien did.
Hell yeah.
You've been introduced to some
Chief O'Brien.
Some very interesting characters. You got some interesting characters that people already know and love, like the corndog guy and like the engineer Bill Dotrieve.
Looks like this is a job for Chad.
Chief Engineer Gene Jacobowski.
Jacobowski.
Your service.
Chief Engineer Jabroni.
Steven Root,
yeah.
Root is one of my favorite actors.
I think he was also that guy who said this.
Unless they're going to the arcade.
No, not that guy.
The other guy standing next to him.
No, there was a guy.
Yes, yeah, the guy standing next to him is Steven Root, yeah. For sure.
Wait,
I have that.
I just played the wrong file. I suck so bad.
Did you put too many exclamation points and question marks in the file?
it's this one, I think.
We don't get a lot of your kind around here.
That's the one.
100% that's Steven Root.
Yeah, that was a different character, but same voice actor.
He is character and voice actor royalty.
He's gold.
And he was great in Barry as well.
Yes.
He was excellent in Barry.
Absolutely. Bill Dotrieve.
In Office Space.
Office Space.
Mm-hmm. He was excellent.
Yeah, he was Milton.
No Country for Old Men.
What was that? You know that with the Phil Hartman?
Absolutely.
I mean, what are we supposed to do, Dan? I mean, we're not going to do anything about it.
I know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine. You just, you know, puff away. What are we, you know, just the nature of things. Anyway, what was the...
Oof, my, this place
the show?
Does have a signature stink.
News what?
What?
News
what? Radio?
News radio, yes. News radio. I was like, News Hour? I know it's not that one.
That also had Joe Rogan on it.
And Joe Rogan.
Really?
And mm-hmm. It had Phil Hartman until his wife shot him in the head.
And it had... and that kid's in the... What the fuck? I can't believe I forgot his name. The kid's in the hall guy.
David Foley.
Oh,
Dave
yeah.
Foley. And yeah. It had... what's his name? Who was on that episode of Voyager, who everyone hates because he's annoying?
David Spade.
No, the goofy guy who's like, oh, look at me.
Oh, no.
Andy Dick?
Andy Dick. Yeah, he was on that show, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And then John Lovitz came on the show after Phil Hartman was murdered.
That's the ticket?
Yes, exactly. All right. Now that we've gone down memory lane just because Steven Root came out, I just thought about it. I was like, wouldn't it be great if we had more of this show? Like, I could see an entire series set around the rehabilitation of Starbase 80. And honestly, not to get to the end of the what I think the conclusion of the B story is, or what the B story is sort of leading to, I think that that what you have at the end of this season is Captain Freeman transfers to take command of Starbase 80.
Well, since you mentioned it.
Probably.
I think this episode is her rekindling her passion for just the
her passion for smashing?
What I was going to say was her passion for solving everyday simple little problems and making a place better just by doing the hard work of solving the little problems that add up. And this is the perfect example. Like, Starbase 80 has a bunch of these. And it could be as simple as having the right commander, putting attention into this, and then you've already got characters like Steven Root, who's awesome as Chief Engineer Jabroni.
I always love Steven Root when he's
awesome. And I like Nicole Byer as what was the Elorian character's name?
Cassia Knox.
Yes, great character. Mm-hmm. And what was the corndog guy's name?
Chad,
there you go.
Looks like this is a job for Chad.
Because I was thinking about it, I was like, you know what? I wouldn't want to be
corndogs.
I wouldn't want to be on Starbase 80 too much in its current state, because it is a little bit of it is a little bleak.
Whew!
But you figure, like, if the goal is clean it up a little, get that promenade a little bit more busy, get more people coming, maybe clear out a few of the Akamarians.
Keep it to 1,000 mutations or less.
They can keep running the arcade. Looks like it could be a fun place to have some...
Ah! See? The curse begins!
Some stationary adventures with ships showing up and politics and
ships
intrigue.
Showing
and
up.
Put me in the brig! Shoot me into space!
I like it when ships show up.
I don't know. I like it. If you got Lower Decks as an underdog story, and by the end of season 5, they
arf,
will
arf!
Have emerged from their underdogness to prove
arf,
their,
arf!
Prove their metal.
Arf!
If you were to do another show, that's what you would want to do. You'd want to have the underdog space station.
Yeah.
Arf, arf!
Yes, this rehabilitating its
Deep Space
reputation
10.
And having some of our characters do it. Why not Captain Freeman?
Why not?
Why not?
Why not indeed?
Do it.
Do it. So, so are we talking about the B story now?
B?
We have transitioned directly into the B story.
Okay. There was...
what you got to say, Dan?
Well, they fixed three things, really.
Is this your list of three things they fixed?
This is my list of three things they fixed,
This is the list of three things you fixed, but this is not your list of everything that's going wrong. Right?
Correct.
Okay, that's for it, because we're about to come up on a break.
The fix
so we have time for the three things, but not for the everything.
First, they fix his broken alarms.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Because there's a whole bunch of them.
And it's a very TOS-style command, the command center of this space station looks straight at it like TOS, like sort of movie-ish or original TOS.
Ooh, I like red alerts too!
And then
the station is probably from that era.
And then they had to seal an oxygen tank because...
Yeah, I don't have the know-how.
It was an oxygen leak, rather. There was an oxygen leak that they needed
to
fix.
Why are you saying oxygen like that?
I know. And then they had to clear out the bats in subsection 5.
Yeah. And the bat bit was good. That was a good bit. The bat bit. Yeah.
But don't
get bit by a bat, because bats are one of the main vectors of rabies, at least in North America. Mm. If you see a bat on the ground, don't touch it. Beware. Call a bat expert.
I was
bats
staying
about
bat handling.
When we visited Maine, when my family visited Maine, we were staying
a bunch of bats?
No. We were staying at a place, and like out of nowhere, this bat started like flying around the room. We think it came from the basement.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not confusing your own life with the movie The Great Outdoors with John Candy?
You just
and
wanted
Dan Aykroyd?
A reason to bring up The Great Outdoors.
But you know, there's the bear, and then there's the no hair because of the gun. And they shoot at the bear in the butt.
Yeah.
Okay. We gotta take a break.
But there was bats, and so when we managed to chase the bat away, but you're saying that was dangerous. What I was getting at.
Are you saying
we're dangerous?
It's probably better to chase the bat away if it's
dangerous
inside your house. Mm. And if it's a normal acting bat and it is nighttime, okay, maybe it just got in your house. You see a bat during the daytime, you see a bat acting weird, you see a bat on the ground. That's bat news.
I never took you for a seaweed girl.
Bat news.
Yeah.
Get it?
Bat motherfucking news.
All right, we will be right back.
Oh, we aren't done yet.
All right, we are back.
Ha. We're just a bunch of scrappy underdogs. Ha. Arf, arf. Ha.
Now, Dan.
Howdy.
We'll get to your list soon. But yes, let's talk about first. We'll talk about Chief Engineer.
Howdy.
Jabrowski. What's his name?
Chief Engineer Gene Jakubowski.
Jakubowski.
At your service.
Jakubowski.
Jakubowski.
I knew immediately. I mean, the gag was obvious immediately. Kind of like the Mariner stuff. Like, the gag was pretty obvious that this engineer guy... He was the chief engineer the whole time.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was playing a trick.
You know? It's a good gag. It's funny because it's Stephen Root. But it's also like, it's like, okay.
Apologies for the subterfuge. Well, since you mentioned it, I don't have the know-how.
There were a million funny things. This is one of those things where, you got to follow some of the cool people on Blue Sky or on Reddit, et cetera.
Blueski?
Well, there's various people who highlight all the Easter eggs and things that Lower Decks is, of course, famous for. But this episode in particular, I think, leaned a lot into the nostalgia because there was a lot of the TOS era designs and the wall comms, et cetera.
Why do they have to be Easter eggs all the time? Why can't they be like Thanksgiving turkeys or Halloween candy or something?
Because that's not how it works.
I think an Easter egg, the metaphor... is that it's a surprise?
But what if the turkey? What if it's hidden?
No one is surprised by a turkey.
What if it's a turkey surprise?
No one is surprised by a turkey.
You could say if it's full of turkey surprises.
No, but you hide
the turkey surprise in this episode.
Like, turkey the whole point surprise. Fuck you.
You hide the Easter eggs and you go on an Easter egg hunt.
What if you were playing hide and go seek the turkey surprise?
That's why it's not just regular eggs, because regular eggs don't have a component of surprise.
But then you could say it was hide and go seek. Turkey surprises.
Yeah, but
are you okay?
Yeah, you're talking about some invention of yours that may be
everything's an invention.
It may be a good invention, yes, but it's
everything
not,
everything is either an invention or a discovery. But those are one of those two things.
It is not in common usage.
You invent contraptions. You discover things like theorems.
Okay, in either case. Whatever direction you might be going, it is not in the surprise turkeys business. Is not going to work.
Okay, the Halloween candy then. How about you call him?
But Halloween candy's not hidden. You just ask. Okay. For it and
how about?
Give it to you.
How about?
You don't hide it, and it's not a surprise. It's not something you find.
Why don't they
like,
call them?
Look at that.
Why don't they
look at that treasure?
Why don't
I
they
found.
Call them like piñatas then? Because you don't know what's in a piñata.
Well, you can guess.
But you don't know.
Some sort
I know
sweet,
what's in a pinata.
Sweet treats.
Yeah, but sweet treats.
It's candy.
Sweet treats spans a lot of different things. You can't
but
say,
it's
oh,
all just candy.
It's all just sweet. It's the, Patrick, you of all people.
Probably not chocolate.
Patrick is the
it
same
melts.
Person that talks to me about the different ratio of Kit Kats, okay? You,
yes.
You, someone like
different
you.
Different sizes of Kit Kats.
And I,
the ratio
and Patrick,
to
Patrick,
the chocolate
Patrick,
to the wafer.
Patrick, Patrick.
It's different.
I,
it tastes
Patrick,
different. Same thing with Reese's
Patrick,
peanut butter cups.
Whatchamacallits.
I agree with you that Kit Kat ratios are different. But my point is you're talking at such a granular level of Kit Kat consistencies that you have all people shouldn't be writing off all sweet things as one type of thing. You're changing your beliefs based on your argument.
No, I'm not changing my beliefs. My,
yes, you are, because you're saying, oh, pinatas, it's all just sweet stuff in the middle. It's all the same. It's not. They're vastly different things.
I don't think you've landed the rhetorical blow that you believe you have. Because
I think I have.
Because the Easter egg, the point is that you hide an Easter egg, and then when you find it, it's a treat. Somebody's put it there on purpose. The analogy is perfect.
But I
peel it and eat it.
Somebody has hidden something
still,
with the intent that you would find it and be delighted by finding it.
I'm still on the
Easter egg.
I'm still on the part where you
pinata,
said
you have to beat it fucking
okay,
open. You
but
have to
I'm
beat
still,
open a burro.
I have to
beat it to death.
You beat it with you beat
a
it with
burro filled with some sort of sweet
no, you,
treat.
You,
some candy of some sort.
You beat the burro with the garrote.
Yes.
But Patrick, so, I'm still
the
on the
analogy
point.
Does not
hey,
hold.
I'm still on the point where you said that all sweet things are the same. And I'm saying that that was a blatant
I don't believe I said that.
You did. You did. You said, I said, inside the pinata, there's all, you break it up, you don't know what's inside. And you said, oh, it's just all a bunch of sweet things. Like,
yeah,
you all lumped it as into one thing.
It's, yeah, it's a category. I do lump them into a category. Understanding
but you're
that
saying all sweet things are the same thing. No, what you're
that
implying
category.
By that is by saying, since they are all sweet things, it's not a surprise what's inside, is what you were implying. And I'm saying it still is a surprise because you don't know what kinds of sweet things there are. I don't know why you can't just admit that you're wrong on this.
Oh.
What's the theme from What's Happening? Because I have no idea what's happening right now.
Remember.
All right. I can't remember what we were talking about just now, but whatever it was, we'll...
Just asking you to be emotionally honest with me.
we have to continue our discussion.
Okay, well, we'll talk about the shittiness of Starbase 80.
Starbase 80?
Yeah, Starbase 80. Okay, we'll have to go through this list quick.
Yes,
I am
eager to go through this list.
There are 23 items.
Holy shit, that's a long list.
Yeah, so
that's
let's
one
see.
Of the longer of the Dan list.
Well, that's how much shit there was wrong
Maybe
with it.
Maybe we shouldn't have spent all that time talking about some nonsense about candy and
I think we got a lot of shit aired. I would think we
shit.
Aired out a lot of dirty laundry.
All right, good.
Okay, so number one, Starbase. This is the shittiness of Starbase 80. Number one, they have Denobulan lice. Number two.
Which sounds scary.
Yeah, it does. They always talk about Denobulans, but we never get to see enough Denobulans, I feel.
We've seen a number of Denobulans on Lower Decks.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, they're often in the background or just
goes
hanging around.
To show
Not, we don't.
We've seen a bunch. We've seen a bunch.
I feel like we haven't seen as
There was one a couple in the episode
I feel
three.
Like they
in
talk
episode
about...
three, there was a skiing Denobulan. The scientist was a Denobulan who was skiing. Remember?
I feel like they talk about them more than they show them.
Well, we just saw one a couple weeks ago.
Well, Discovery referenced them and didn't show them.
Okay, that's a different show.
But it's Star Trek.
Okay.
Look. Okay, next
they
one.
They call him Johnny Goalposts.
What? How is this my fault?
It's not your fault. I just said they call you Johnny Goldpost.
This is not, I'm not the one who's wrong here, all right?
Oh, damn.
You're telling me that I'm changing the goalpost, that I'm changing the goalposts around? I'm not. We're talking about Star Trek. This is a Star Trek podcast. Why do you get to decide which one we focus on?
Colloquial nickname. But okay, Star Trek, your point was about...
Okay, next one, number two.
Okay.
They use discontinued Enterprise gel.
Yes.
Yeah.
The decontamination gel.
Yeah.
Check me out. I'm a total T'Pol over here.
It was invented in 2001 to be all sexy.
Yeah. And it led...
Like, these kids, they got to watch the Star Trek where you get some naked people.
It made me not want to watch the whole show.
All I smell is gel.
The twist is it's not going to just be naked girls. It's going to be naked boys.
I stopped watching the show.
You're going to see Captain Archer's penis just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
He's
That's the stuff.
Gonna rub gel all over him. It's a disinfectant, you see. It's science.
And so let they Ransom...
gotta do it. It's science!
Let Ransom be creepy. Okay.
It was creepy.
Number three, Mariner fell into an open ditch. They have open ditches there. Number four, they have older model nav processors. I don't remember exactly how that... applies in all context.
They have all sorts of old.
Well, it's because they were there to get a nav processor, and they were saying they probably have some, but they would be old.
We have a nav processor too.
They have old, like,
okay, yeah, they're getting nav processors. You're right, and they were like, yeah, we got some. You don't mind? They're an older model. Yes.
Wall comms.
Okay.
Intercom.
Engineering is all upside down.
Yeah.
You know, she really should have warned them before. Nox should have warned them that it was upside down. The gravity was upside.
Did.
No, they didn't. They
watch your step.
After they walked in and fell on the ceiling, she was like, oh, by the way, their battery gravity is all backwards in here.
She's Elorian. Elorians are listeners. They're not like talkers.
Yeah, they need to learn communication. They can take it, but they can't dish it. They use wall comms. You mentioned that. Number 6, Jesse. They use wall comms. Number 7. There have been no updates since the 2260s.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, I think that goes part and parcel with the wall comms situation.
Yeah, all that TOS style.
Number 8. They have
multicolored tubes.
Tubes. Number 8, they have food vendors instead of replicators.
Yeah. Looks like this is a job for Chad.
And old uniforms instead of replicators.
Well, I'm getting to that one too.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Hold your horses, Jesse. He's got a list.
No,
it's got an order and everything.
This is in chronological order, as in the order in which they appeared in the episode. There's lots of static buildup. I don't remember how that Starbase.
Well,
that
was because the
grav plating.
The communicators were getting sparkly, and
this was after the
again. A Mariner assumed incorrectly it was because of static charge buildup and not because of a monster.
Well, there was an issue. Remember, these are in order of when you see me in the episode. This happened right after the grav plates and engineering was all upside down. There was something staticky about there too. So, number 10, alarms just randomly go off and they don't have the tools to make them stop.
Hmm.
That was a problem Jakubowski was having. That was his first issue they had to fix. It's like the check engine light in your car. When that goes on,
yeah,
it usually means it means the check engine light's broken.
Yeah, I know, right?
It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Number 11, they don't have up-to-date tricorders. Number 12, they have no holodecks. They have arcades instead, which is kind of awesome.
And they had some cool arcade games kinda in there.
Awesome.
Yeah, I actually listed all 6 of them that you see the title of.
Ooh.
You have number 1, The Bone Collector. Number 2, Ferengi's Fortune.
Yeah.
Number 3, Cardboard Chaos, which is some. Was that like a reference to like the set designs or something?
I wasn't 100% sure. I was trying to figure that out.
Like,
because I saw that Cardboard Chaos.
When I saw that, I immediately thought of the TOS episode where they went to the Old West planet where they had half the buildings put up or whatever.
Well, or Ta'ana, Dr. Ta'ana. She likes her cardboard box.
Oh, yeah, she does.
But I don't think it was a reference to that necessarily.
Number 4, actually, this one didn't have a name, but you could tell it was like some kind of Klingon Galaga. It was Galaga is that
there's a Klingon or Romulan, because
you're right it's Romulan.
It
yeah you're
Romulan
right sorry
ship.
You're right yeah, yeah it was, you're totally right, it's a Romulan, and Galaga being that spaceship game where you're like go back and forth in the bottom of the screen and you shoot the pattern of aliens coming at you, and if one of the aliens captures you, you can destroy that ship, and then you get that ship and you have two ships, but you have to do it at the expense of one life because you have two lives on the screen at the same time. It's a very interesting strategy. You can upgrade your weapon, but at the expense of a life. It's a good game.
But it's important to ask this question.
Of course.
Did you prefer Galaga to Space Invaders?
Yes, easily.
Because it was more advanced and had more options?
Space Invaders was also more stressful because they just slowly come down towards you and you have to get them before they get you, which...
And they got faster as fewer of them were on the screen.
And it's a great sort of gameplay mechanic because it does add like intensity to the situation, but I kind of like Galaga's style. It's more my style, Galaga. Okay. You know, the sound effects, too, it's a little more advanced, like the sounds are cooler, and I like that strategy, how you can upgrade your gun in Galaga, and I don't know, it just was more fun to me. Space Invaders is a great game, but you know.
All right, thank you.
I think
digression concluded.
I think Mortal Kombat is the greatest game of all time. I disagree. While Mortal Kombat is a very good game, I think Donkey Kong is the greatest game of all time. Donkey Kong sucks. You suck. What was that from?
I'm guessing The Simpsons.
No, it was Billy Madison.
Oh, Billy Madison. Oh, you know, you're right. Billy Madison.
No, you kids like them sloppy.
Yeah, the sloppy.
Lady,
jams.
You're scaring us. Adam Sandler. Okay. They also had.
Aside, okay.
Arcade number 5, they had the Captain's Chair, which was like, looked like one of those, like, sort of immersive arcade games where it had like a big thing you sat in. And then this was not in the arcade. but it was in the promenade or something. They had a rideable targ, like a targ, like one of those rideable targs. So that's kind of a bonus that doesn't quite count. And those were the arcade games. I miss arcades. I remember when they'd have arcades in the side of strip malls, and you'd go in and it'd be all shady and people smoking cigarettes and it was all dirty.
Yeah, it was just funny how you started it off like you were an 8-year-old boy. Arcades. Yeah. I miss when arcades around. I like the guys who smoke cigarettes outside.
But don't hang out with them when you're by yourself. Just make sure that you're with a group. They're good to watch from a distance.
they're good to watch. Indeed.
Turn the tides on them. Okay. Number 13.
This is the things that had gone wrong in this joint, right?
Yes. We mentioned this earlier. Nobody paid enough attention to the negotiations and accidentally surrendered half of the starbase to the Akamarians. So basically saying, like, it's so lowly regarded that people don't even put effort into proper negotiations. Yeah. Either that or someone was incompetent on the starbase itself and made a poor negotiation. Either way, nobody paid enough attention to not make the place even shittier, which indicates that it's already pretty shitty, that they're just willing to let it go further. 14, uncovered and unrefrigerated cursed sauce. Someone was talking about some cursed sauce.
Mariner was referring to the sauce because it was some sort of a sauce bar.
Yeah, right. And it was like it was
unclear on how that worked, but it was intriguing.
She said,
"I'm intrigued by sauces."
She goes, "Ruthie." She goes, "No, that's cursed sauce. Don't touch that." And she goes, "Why? I eat those every day. They're great." She's like, "Uncovered and unrefrigerated. Ugh, that's a pass." So yeah. Number 15. Without replicators, they had to get uniforms from long dead men. Yeah. To old so
long dead men.
That sounds funny. So their uniforms, they can't make their own, so they just take the leftovers that are grabbed from all the old officers that have been killed in the line of duties, all the red shirts. They weren't red, I did say duty. You're right. It's interesting they weren't red. You'd think they would have made the uniform red because they're red. The red shirts are always done.
Well, maybe they want to inject a Sanson of realism back into the ridiculous premise that they don't have basic things like replicators and things like that.
The what?
Well,
the
Sanson?
Sanson?
Oh, this human is full of worms.
A soupçon?
Okay. Number 16. Their storage appears to be full of film. I don't know why. That was a weird one I added. I don't know why I added that.
Well,
their storage room
appeared
like it had reel-to-reels or film or something. 100%.
So, again, I get it. It's a comedy show. I enjoy the comedy show. Every now and then, I feel like, you know, maybe they're going a little bit far with the no replicators, TOS style stuff that's still being used. The Enterprise uniforms, which are even older than TOS. It's just sort of like, okay, what? They have like a 100-year-old, 150-year-old uniform? Okay.
It's just a crazy idea.
I liked it. I liked all the jokes. I laughed at it. But, you know, when you add it all up, it's like, okay.
It's like going over the top, trying too hard.
It's starting to be a little over the top. Yeah.
Now, I can't remember. TOS, they had those data tapes, which looked like blocks of wood or plastic or something. But did they have film that they listened to stuff on in TOS?
No, I don't think. I mean, maybe.
They should have had tapes, although they're kind of nondescript. So,
you know, maybe there was a TOS where they like pulled out some like 16mm film. I don't know.
17. Their turbo lifts have first season TNG handles. I mentioned that earlier on in a past episode. The handles, you had to like twist them before.
Handles.
Yeah. 18, Jakubowski, who is like their chief engineer, doesn't know how to fix an oxygen leak, which is like pretty shitty. Either that or he doesn't know how or he doesn't have the tools to do so. Either way, he's incapable of doing it, which is pretty shitty that your chief engineer can't fucking fix an oxygen leak, but like a captain of another ship can.
You know, it's a good question or a good thing you point out with the tools, because I hadn't considered that. And I'd have to watch the episode again to like sort of reanalyze it to see what's going on here. Because one problem I had with Dr. Jabrowski was whatever his name is.
Jabakowski.
Is it Jabakowski?
It's Palololo. Lolo. Lolo. Jakubowski.
Oh, Jakubowski. I know something didn't sound right. Okay.
Yeah.
So Jakubowski Jakubowski's cool. I like the character, but it's like, yeah, are they trying to portray him as totally incompetent?
Yeah.
Or was it just that he didn't have the resources he needed? Because at the end, they sort of played it as Freeman saying, okay, I get it. I've been in the same boat where you don't get the resources that you need to do the job. And we have some of those resources so we can help you out. On the other hand, it did kind of seem like he just wasn't doing anything.
Okay, here's something that might clarify some things. When the alarms are going off, he says, I don't have the tools to reroute their microcircuits. Yeah. So in the case of the alarms, he didn't have
definitely the tools.
But with the oxygen leak, he said,
I don't have the know-how
to get this oxygen leak sealed. So
yeah, he said not doesn't have the know-how.
Yeah, so he doesn't have the tools or the know-how. Their chief engineer is impotent, so it has work.
Regardless, it's the story still ends up in the same place.
Yeah. With
Freeman being like, "Oh, okay, this is kind of cool to help out." Although she's not doesn't seem to be having a fun time with the bat, like right at the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's another one. 19. They have stairs. Yes. Like I mentioned, which is blowing Ransom's mind. He loves it.
It sort of blew my mind too, because you don't really think about it until you see stairs in the context of a space station, as opposed to on a planet or, you know, moon or something like that. You might see stairs, or you might see a couple stairs, but just like a plain set of stairs going all the way up. What'd they say, like 32 floors that they had to go up? It was a lot. Whatever it was a lot.
So there's number 19 and 20, or 20 and 21 kind of go hand in hand. I'll just quote the line here. Does he have one of those Tarkanan parasites that mess with your DNA? I used to have one. I got it from sharing a toothbrush with one of my colleagues.
Yeah.
So that's number 9. For number 20 is they have to share toothbrushes. Number 21 is they have a Tarkanan parasite going around. So that's
apparently.
So those are two bad things that go hand in hand with each other. That they're not only sharing toothbrushes, but that their toothbrushes are infected with Tarkanan parasites.
That's the business that Geordi went through, right? Where he was infected with that dormant virus that turned him into the
weird mud man.
No, into the blue fluorescent vain creature.
Yeah, the mud man, the blue mud man.
I mean,
where he was wearing the spandex outfit.
Yeah.
Wasn't he like a mud man?
I don't believe that's how they referred to him in the
but he was some kind, he became some kind of like weird alien creature.
Yeah, with flappy. I don't know. I was thinking more like a frog creature.
So he had the Tarkanan? I don't know. I can't remember.
I can't recall.
We mentioned this a couple times. Number 22, bats in subsection 5.
I like the quote, way too many bats around here. he just casually states that.
Yeah, there was a big old bat at the end, wasn't there?
Yes, yeah, that was what I was just saying, is that Freeman, she wants to help, but on the other hand, you know, she's dealing with that big monstrous bat, and Ransom keeps saying, like, watch out for the claws.
I searched my sound files for the word bat, and this is the only one I got.
I'm hosting their first annual scatting battle!
That's the only one I have.
So you have no quotes about bats?
None about bats.
Even though there were so many mentions of bats in this episode?
Dude, I get so many sounds from this episode, there's no way for me to get all of them.
No, I'm not critiquing you.
No, you're right, though. I am surprised sometimes that I miss certain things.
It's a statistical thing.
Yeah, but I do get surprised sometimes when I miss certain things, so it's all good. And number 23, they presumably have metal scrap handy to prop the doors open, because at the end, when they were when the doors were opening and closing on the Cerritos, Knox like just pulled some scrap metal and like
used to it.
Yeah. What is the line? It goes. I'm trying to find the line, but I can't even remember. I don't even know how I would look it up.
All right.
So I'll just keep looking.
Well, you keep looking while I
keep looking, motherfucker.
While I note that at one point you can see Kirk and Spock's hats from a piece of the action on a shelf in a store. I guess they're for sale, sort of in the background. That was one thing I caught. I know there's way more. This is one of those episodes where you can find more. And of course, as I was mentioning earlier, there's the people on Twitter and Reddit, et cetera, who will go through and list all these things and show pictures.
Those people.
I found it. It was the door is opening and closing, and she props it open with a metal thing, and then Mariner goes, nice! And then Knox goes, happens all the time on our base.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I noticed that Chief Engineer Jakubowski was left-handed.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
As am I.
Mm. You must be very similar.
That.
We left-handers have an eye to spotting out other left-handers.
I've told you about this many times, but I don't think I've ever told our audience. I feel so, like, presumptuous or, like, you know, What's the word when you're like full of yourself and like,
presumptuous?
Is he presumptuous? There's another word.
Pretentious.
For it. Pretentious. Thank you. Pretentious.
Being pretentious.
Like, our audience hasn't heard. I had an anthropology teacher teach us
Nerd.
Once this was back in like 2005. He was saying that there's a working theory that there's right-handedness and no-handedness. There's no such thing as left-handedness.
I think you've mentioned this on the podcast before.
Have I on the podcast? I don't know.
I think so.
And well, you know, not everyone listens to every episode, so you got to reiterate sometimes. But yeah, so apparently you are no-handed. You're not left-handed.
I do not subscribe to the theory.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah.
This particular anthropology professor
sounds a little bit iffy.
Has put forward.
I didn't put a lot of stock in it.
All right, good. I'm glad you brought it up.
Cetacean ops whales apparently throw crazy parties.
Oh yeah, we've heard that reputation from them before, right? That's like that's the vibe with them, is that they're like rad to hang out with.
Wasn't that one like all hitting on Boimler or Rutherford? I can't remember.
Well, that might be their like playful way of referencing, you know, like in that King of the Hill episode, Return to La Grunta, what happens to Hank Hill with the dolphin?
But yeah, right.
It's bad news.
Yeah, well maybe
they'll do that from time to time.
Well, maybe the fact that they do that is also getting at like that's why they like to party, like they like to, you know, they have to like to party by having sex and like, you know, having other party
doing
fun.
Space cocaine.
Yeah, so it's just partying in general. They look like dolphins to me, though. They didn't look like whales.
Yeah, some sort of dolphinish thing.
Oh, so when Boimler was like,
Mirabear, get my back.
Dolphins are cetaceans.
Mirabear, get my back.
They specifically called them whales.
Yes.
That's about my point. They specifically said whales. Yeah. Anyways.
Mirabear, get my back. Merebear.
So merebear, do you think that's like a werebear, but it's a merebear? Are you all familiar with werebears?
I mean, were anything, yeah, because were means man Old English.
Jesse, are you aware of werebears?
I'm aware of werebears.
So do you think it's like a merebear?
So were...
It's like a bear that turns into a mariner?
Were is an Old English term for person or man.
Right.
And so
I didn't ask for like I didn't ask for the history of the etymology of the word where or whatever.
Well, you got it anyway, bitch.
Anyway, okay. We can't be podcasting too much longer.
Maybe it's a bear that turns into a mariner or a bear that turns into a horse because horses are also called mares.
Okay.
There also wasn't that much Shax this season. There hasn't been much Tiana or Shax this season.
Yeah, actually, and some people have commented about that online that really no lines. I think Tiana hasn't had any lines at all. She's had a couple of meows.
Yeah, Shax just had this.
Oh, boy.
Oh, when he was coming to after being brain zapped,
probably
the very end. And it was another thing that made me sort of think about, wouldn't it be cool if they had a spinoff or little bit with the Starbase 80? Was the last time we see Starbase 80 from the outside, when it's one of those introductory, like coming back from commercial break shots. It's the denouement of the episode after the climax. So we're seeing Starbase 80. The music that played was DS9 ish. It wasn't a DS9 riff specifically, but it was kind of in that direction. And it was sort of like happy space station music. It was like, this is Star Trek style space station music.
That's why it's so retro cool.
Yeah. I was like, clean this place up a little bit, get some more ships coming through, get some more attention, make it more bustling. This could be fun. And then they could have all sorts of fun solving the problems of the station and making it a better place and having a goofy adventures trying to be like, how do we attract more tourists?
Right? Just for fun.
How do we attract the big Starfleet meeting where they're going to negotiate some treaty? We want them to come here.
Oh, yeah. That's the stuff.
Yeah. There's endless storylines they could do with that.
Like a fungus.
All right.
There was one that's in order. We haven't had one of those that's in orders in a while. In fact, didn't I posit last week that they stopped doing that's in order because I kept catching them on it?
Yes.
Or so is that duty or no
just
duty?
Just to explain to
it
the
might
audience.
It might have been duty or no duty.
Sounds like duty.
To explain to the audience, Dan has a particular bugaboo about the sort of cliched line, that's an order, when it's used in a certain context in military television shows, including Star Trek, right? And that's what he's getting at. So when somebody says that's an order, Dan likes to highlight it and then pass judgment whether or not it falls into the negative category of being cliched or if it's used properly. Take it away, Dan.
And for the record, I posited last week that they stopped doing duty or that they stopped saying duty in the episodes because they were upset because I or embarrassed rather because I kept calling them out on Duty or No Duty, yeah. which is another game that I have.
Yes.
And so since I played Duty or No Duty and called them out on their duties so much, they stopped using the word duty in their episodes.
Dan was presuming that Mike McMahon is a regular listener. Yeah. And in fact, we forgot to mention this last week, but Mike, if you are listening, please just write in a feedback at discussstartrek.com and let Dan know whether he's correct or not, whether you told the writer's room to avoid using the term duty so that we don't have to hear the whole duty or no duty game from Dan.
Ugh, hurry! I feel myself getting moronic!
Pip, on your way!
Indeed, okay. Any final points well, there's as we wrap
things
up? Well,
that's an order, which I have to...
Oh, yes, of course, yes. We did the whole explanation, but not the meat.
Right.
Yeah.
Freeman says, Mariner...
All hat and no cattle.
Mariner, why don't you go see if you can help with any station repairs while we go and get the processor? Mariner says, ooh, alternate idea. I would love to go back to the Cerritos and not help with anything. And then Freeman says, that's an order. I mean, it's very standard usage of that's an order.
It's cliched, right?
It's a little cliched, like, but it, at the same time, it wasn't like...
Kill me, shoot me in the head.
Yeah, shoot me in the head. Shoot me in the head to save your life. It's like, no, Captain, that's an order. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
All right.
So, but it was, I think, they could have done better.
All right.
They could have done better.
Other final points?
Well, speaking of duty or no duty, there is one duty or no duty.
Okay,
well.
All right. Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Duty it.
Mom, come on. Please, look, give me holodeck waste removal duty. Anything that takes me back to the Cerritos, please.
I'll play it. It's a short one.
Give me holodeck waste removal duty. Give me holodeck waste removal duty. Give me holodeck waste removal duty.
I'd say that's a no duty.
Interesting. What do you say, Jesse? Do you want me to play it again?
Give me holodeck waste removal duty. Give me holodeck waste removal duty.
No duty.
I say duty all the way.
No, I say no duty. I think it's a duty. Very clear.
Mm-hmm. Give me holodeck waste removal duty.
That's total duty. Anyways, it's fine. We don't have to agree.
No, we do not.
You got duty on the brain.
Yeah. So you guys say no duty and are wrong, and I say duty and I'm right. Okay,
good.
So well, I was right.
Maybe so, sir.
I think that does it
maybe
for us
that's how it works.
For this particular conversation.
Ugh, I'm pooped.
Next
I'm
week.
Poop all over you.
Next week.
Gross.
That is gross.
Don't do that.
No duty.
Sounds like you want lots of duty.
Next week.
What happened?
Next week we will be continuing our weekly coverage of Lower Decks fifth and final season.
No!
It's going to be.
Are you going to do that the whole way there?
Going to be episode 6. It's called Of Gods and Angels.
I thought you said Of Gods and Anuses. I knew you weren't going to say that, but like that. My brain made that happen
it's
in my brain.
Of Gods and
Your
Angels.
Your brain is messed up.
That will be the episode we'll be talking about.
Oh my word.
In the meantime, you can go to the website www.discussstartrek.com.
Pip, pip, on your way.
Feedback at discussstartrek.com to write an email. discussstartrek.com/record to send a voicemail if you like to do that.
Yeah, I don't have the know-how.
We are at It's Got Star Trek on Blue Sky and Mastodon and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube.
You're right. It is a curse.
Ah, see? The curse begins.
All those places. Come join us, interact, have fun. It would be joyful were you to do so, and we think you'd enjoy it.
Myself too thin.
That's it. We don't need to talk anymore this week. We'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
Y'all have fun.
Chad lives to dog another day.
There's still the big one.
But it won't even fit in the cage.
Yeah, not with that attitude, it won't.
How about I just forge the signature?
Oh, giant bat is keeping me on this goddamn station.
Look out for the claws, Captain. The claws.